The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
Well, one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the herb.
Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Friday, April 8th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the weekend. All sorts of great stuff happening this weekend on the Normal Network. Coming up later on today, you're going to hear Cannabis Times Radio from New York, New York, and L.A., California, our bi-coastal show that's bi-winning. And then at 8 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Pacific, you'll hear the Hot Box out of Kalispell, Montana with Sandy and Matt. At 8 Mountain or 7 Pacific, you'll get John Doe Radio.
The following program, Normal Show
Live, we got to kill that.
Is intended for responsible adults.
I lost track
only.
What the hell I was doing. It must be the weekend. Welcome back, everyone. Oh, Ganja John is not in the studio, as you can tell. So here I am running all again and making mistakes. John Doe Radio, 8 o'clock Mountain, 7 o'clock Pacific time. And then on the West Coast, 8 o'clock Pacific, 11 o'clock Eastern time. It is the debut of this gentleman's show, Coleco the Intern, with the Irie Island Hour.
Aloha, aloha. Stoked about it. It's going to be awesome.
So what kind of show is Irie Island Hour going to be?
It's going to be mostly music related, mostly reggae music, but we're gonna, you know, throw in a lot of intellectual conversations where we can fit them in.
Ah, that's cool, man. And also, you know, getting it from a youth perspective, you know, because I'm getting up there, so.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we're gonna try to bring in a lot of college students and maybe bring in some college activists if we can.
So. Are you saying for sure I'm old?
No.
Yeah, you're fired. No.
Bye. All right, I'll see you guys later. Have a great
night. Just kidding, Coleco. We're looking forward to that show live tonight, or not live, but recorded tonight, but brand new at 8 o'clock Pacific. Also joining us from our virtual studio in beautiful Grass Doria, Oregon, is Cannabis Carrie. Hi, Carrie.
Hi. It is particularly beautiful today. I knew I couldn't sit here in my seat waiting for the show to get over, so I already went to the beach this morning.
Oh, my goodness. Already out at the beach. Yeah, the sun actually came out, this big yellow glowing disc that we see now and then over here in Portland and up there in Astoria. So glad you got some sunshine, some vitamin D. Carrie does our hemp headlines right after this first break. So, Carrie, what's in the news today?
Oh, man, we have so much news today. I'm excited about this one report. We're going to find out about what the carbon footprint of marijuana is. Also, the D.C. rules are going into effect. We'll find out when that is. Montana, some new news out of Montana, not particularly about the repeal. And also, a Michigan judge has decided that medical marijuana is unconstitutional. We'll talk about that as well.
Yeah, that's breaking news coming over the wires just before we get on the air here at Normal Show Live. So great work, Carrie, on bringing that to us right after this first break. Also, today is Rockin' Friday, so Herb Thrasher will be calling in, bringing out the metal here to take us into the weekend with a great band. I heard the song earlier today, Sinister Grin, and their tune's called Medicine. And then at half past, High Times Magazine's West Coast editor Dave Bienenstock joins us from the West Coast, and he's going to give us his recollections, those that he can bring back to his brain, of the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. We'll see how much he can remember of it from Denver last weekend. And then at the end end of the show, we're going to debunk some reefer madness sent to us from our friend Cannabis Cure UK from the UK Daily Mail that's claiming, now get this, that there were 30,000 people killed by marijuana last year. So we got to look into the data on that. All that and more coming up a little bit later here on Normal Show Live. We are the voice of the marijuana nation, the anchor of the Normal Network. Please stick around all day, all night long. You're going to learn something. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapist will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
Normal National Conference 2011, Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd.
I'm not a crook.
When President Nixon declared war on marijuana smokers, Normal was founded by a young lawyer named Keith Strop. And now, in our 40th year, Normal is coming of age as states begin discussing outright marijuana legalization.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Join us in Denver, Colorado, the day after 420 for our 40th annual National Conference. You'll learn about marijuana law, cannabis science, and the grassroots activism necessary to end prohibition. Set in the Mile High City, America's cannabis capital. Special guests include medical marijuana pioneer and Harvard Emeritus Dr. Lester Grinspoon, U.S. Congressman Jared Polis, and Normal founder Keith Strop. Normal National Conference 2011, coming of age in Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd. It's the true Rocky Mountain High. Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
A current trend in the marijuana industry is to buy organically produced cannabis, a luxury in the new medical marijuana industry where growers are no longer necessarily limited to makeshift supply stores. But a new trend in the future for the even greener stoner will most likely be sustainable cannabis. A new report conducted and published by Evan Mills, PhD, a respected and longtime energy analyst, along with staff scientists at the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory, has concluded that Americans spend an amazing 1% of the entire national electricity consumption, or the equivalent output of 7 large power plants, on growing cannabis. Since medical marijuana use has become so much more popular, and most of those states that do not have a dispensary program, many more people are learning to grow marijuana indoors. The 20 terawatt hours per year that marijuana growers use is due to the bright, often 24 hours a day lighting, and an air change rate 60 times higher than a normal home. Even a modest indoor garden can have the same energy consumption rate of a data center. Since indoor cultivation of cannabis is a necessity to hide operations from authorities and others, the energy bill to growers is about $5 billion each year. That extra energy to produce American cannabis is equal to the energy consumption of an extra 2 million average U.S. homes. It also, unfortunately, produces greenhouse gas pollution equal to 3 million cars, according to the new research. Much like they calculate the carbon footprint of the hamburger that you had for lunch, they have calculated that a single joint represents 2 pounds of CO2 emissions, the same amount as running a 100-watt light bulb for 17 hours with the average U.S. electricity, or 30 hours on California's cleaner grid. Now, much of the nation's indoor cannabis is grown in California, so the national estimate could be even higher than that 1%. The added electricity use in a home with a modest 5x5 production area is equivalent to running about 30 extra refrigerators. For off-grid production, that same small area would require 70 gallons of diesel fuel or 140 gallons with smaller, less efficient gasoline generators. There have been green studies out before about the ways that legalizing marijuana can benefit the environment because of the disastrous effects that illegal growing operations have on our forests and watersheds. And now, armed with this new data, there may be a push for some to try to lessen the carbon footprint of indoor cultivation. But the good news is that with new technology and growing techniques, Dr. Mills says that improved practices applicable to commercial agricultural greenhouses, the energy used for indoor cannabis production, can be reduced dramatically. Cost-effective, efficient improvements of even 75% are possible. That number would be even greater if many indoor operations shifted to outdoor cultivation in climates that would allow it. In the meantime, tokers everywhere can make an effort to lessen their carbon footprint in other areas of their lives to help balance out the extra energy cannabis production uses. And you can always ask your local dispensary, if you have one, if there is any greener green for sale.
Wow, Carrie, that's some amazing figures. Did you say one joint equals 2 pounds of CO2?
Yep, that's what they're figuring.
Oh, man, amazing. And 1% of the entire electricity in the United States as a potential lowball figure, if we're counting, you know, everybody across all the states. My God, it's something Danny Danko has referred to many times in our Cultivator's Corner, is that, you know, the sun is the best source for growing plants, and plants should be outdoors. But, of course, our laws, our prohibition, prevents us from doing that. And just imagine all of those plants that are currently, you know, one joint for 2 pounds of CO2, using up 20 terawatt hours per year. All that electricity that's being used, all the coal-fired plants that it takes to produce that, we get some of our power from hydro, some from nuclear, some from solar, but, you know, a lot of it's, you know, burning coal, burning oil, you know, contributing to the greenhouse gas problem. What a shame, especially when those plants growing outside would be giant carbon sinks. We would actually be, you know, carbon negative in growing marijuana. A joint would actually help the environment if they were all growing outside. It just shows, again, yet another reason we need to end this prohibition, to help not only save us, but save this planet.
And Washington, D.C. district government has finally announced final regulations regarding the use of medical marijuana in our nation's capital. Last year, the D.C. Council passed a law legalizing marijuana dispensaries for patients suffering from chronic ailments. The rules were published on an emergency basis to help meet the needs of residents. On Thursday, D.C. Mayor Vincent Gray told media that district residents suffering from painful conditions like cancer and HIV/AIDS will soon have one more option to help relieve their symptoms. Those interested in operating a dispensary in the city can now apply for a permit through the Department of Health. Patients will be required to register with the city before being allowed to purchase medical marijuana through a dispensary. A full list of the new rules will take effect and be available upon publication of the D.C. Register that is currently scheduled to be out on April 15th.
Well, that's good news. One of the things that's kind of disturbing, though, and I just got this report from one of our East Coast states that's looking at dispensaries, looking at the possibility of passing medical marijuana and having dispensaries. And it's one of our normal chapters that's saying, you know, I'm getting all these requests and all these inquiries from people who want to open dispensaries. How do I open a dispensary? How what's the proper way to get it licensed? Blah, 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 blah. All these questions about making money before the medical marijuana law has even passed. It's really frustrating when you get all these people that want to make a buck on the green rush, but don't want to put a buck toward making the green rush legal. It's kind of frustrating, and I hope that in passing these rules in D.C. that we get some people, you know, unlike what we got going in New Jersey here, where half the people involved with the dispensaries are connected to the governor, you know, his cronies, that we get something in D.C. that'll be a little bit better and serve the patients a little better.
And the quagmire of legal jockeying in Montana over their medical marijuana program has one more judge's ruling to add to the pile this week. A Missoula judge ruled on Wednesday that caregiver-to-caregiver transfers of medical marijuana is illegal under Montana's existing medical marijuana law. The practice of caregiver-to-caregiver transfers is widely used in Montana and other medical marijuana states. If you are a brand new caregiver, how would you then get seeds, cuttings, or medicine to begin with? The Montana Medical Marijuana Act that that was passed by voter initiative in 2004, according to District Judge John Larson, quote, particularly prohibits a caregiver from providing marijuana to anyone other than a qualifying patient who has registered that specific caregiver, unquote. The ruling backs up a controversial memo that came out in August from the Missoula County Attorney's Office that said such transactions are illegal. The lawsuits brought on by attorney Chris Lindsay in an attempt to clarify what he called a gray area in the law, which specifies that a caregiver signs a statement agreeing to provide marijuana only to qualified patients who have named them as their caregiver. Lindsay also has similar suits filed in Flathead County. The caregiver in this case, Kevin Kerr, says that the county attorney's stance that all caregiver-to-caregiver sales or exchanges are outlawed creates an impossibility. Caregivers have to get plans from someplace. He stated for the courts that, quite simply, a caregiver can never meet his duty in providing marijuana to his patients if he is never able to come in possession of it. The county called that argument a straw man defense and went on to say that the law has not established to create a burgeoning industry with large-scale marijuana growing operations that provide marijuana to multiple caregivers with no controls as to who eventually receives the product. On Thursday, Deputy Missoula County Attorney Andrew Paul, when asked about the ruling, replied, quote, obviously, repeal would make all of these debates moot. Indeed, a repeal bill is waiting for the governor's actions, and an additional measure that was hastily amended on Wednesday to overhaul and strictly regulate medical marijuana in Montana would limit each provider to a single patient unless they are related by blood or marriage. Under the new bills working its way to its governor's desk now, if those conditions are met, a caregiver could provide medicine to up to three patients only. Under the current law, a caregiver is allowed to grow six plants per patient, and there is no current limit on the number of patients a caregiver can have in Montana. It was pointed out in court documents, however, that the vast majority of caregivers in Montana currently have only a single patient. There are only 34 out of the 4,848 registered caregivers who have more than 100 patients, and most of them are dispensary operators.
Yeah, the insanity that we have to go through, all these crazy regulations and restrictions and inspections and checks and balances that we have to have in order to make sure that healthy people don't smoke pot. We got to do all these crazy things to keep the weed away from the healthy people and make sure only the sickest people get it. And in trying to do that, they make it so even the sick people can't really get it. At least in Oregon, we have a situation where any cardholder can exchange with any cardholder. So a grower can exchange with a caregiver, can exchange with a patient, can exchange with a caregiver, with a caregiver, with a grower. It doesn't matter. And even that isn't enough to be able to get medicine to all of the patients. These judges and these medical marijuana laws are going to continue to be a battle in all of the medical marijuana states. And it kind of shows me that we're at a pendulum swing right now. We're at a point in politics where we've gained all the momentum we're going to gain on the medical side. And if we continue to fight for more medical marijuana, we're going to get more medical marijuana. You get what I'm saying? It's going to be more medicalized, pharmaceuticalized, barcoded, limited, restricted. We're going to get more of that. It is time now to shift the game and start working for full legalization, even for healthy people.
And a Michigan judge has called the state's medical marijuana law unconstitutional, a ruling that might have big implications for the state's two-year-old medical marijuana law. In a case that started with a traffic stop in January of 2010 that led to a marijuana possession charge for Michigander Robert Brandon, along with contributing to the delinquency of a minor, ended up with Brandon getting a doctor's recommendation for medical marijuana months later to combat his charges. He was seeking to have the case dismissed due to chronic neck pain that he experiences. Judge Mark Summers questioned the legitimacy of his claim, noting that the doctor had only met Brandon for 20 minutes and did not perform a physical examination. But in his ruling that Brandon did not have a defense for having cannabis, Judge Summers, who is an outspoken critic of marijuana and a skeptic of the medical marijuana law, declared the medical marijuana law itself void and unconstitutional, since marijuana remains illegal under federal law. The judge has declined comments because the case remains pending, but a pretrial conference is scheduled for April 12th, We'll get a lot more information on that then, and we will bring it to you here on The Stash.
Yeah, yeah. This guy's a wackaloon. First of all, he's a district judge, so I don't even know that his ruling carries any sort of weight or any sort of precedent. And this has been decided many times by the United States Supreme Court that said that in the California cases, and the case number escaped my mind at the moment, but they basically said that the states have the right to enforce whatever state laws they wish to enforce. And if they don't wish to enforce the state laws regarding cannabis, they don't have to. It is not the charge of state and local officials to enforce federal law. That is not their jurisdiction. So it does not matter about the supremacy clause saying that marijuana is illegal on the federal level. All the supremacy clause says is that a state law that says you don't prosecute for people for cannabis does not get you out of a federal charge for being prosecuted for cannabis. That's all that supremacy clause means. This has been decided many times, Judge Mark Summers. I'd recommend that you go take a look at some of the case law. You're going to get laughed out of the next appeals court that takes a look at this, and the people of Michigan are going to vote you out of office for going contrary to the will of 63% of the Michigan voters that made medical marijuana a reality in 2008.
Time for a break, huh?
Yeah, what a maroon. Just scaring people. That's all that's going to do is scare people, sick and disabled people that don't need to be scared. Right back with some rock after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs, or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
Legalize it. Don't criticize.
This is Peter Tosh for Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Did you know that more than 400,000 Americans were arrested last year for the possession of marijuana? People are being sentenced to up to 40 years for even standing beside a joint. Well, I think it is definitely time for you to help doing something towards this. To find out what you can do, just write Normal, N-O-R-M-L.
1600 K Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 2006. That's 1600 K Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 2006.
Help Normal to help protect your rights.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday, our segment featuring the best rock, metal, punk, and jam band music, brought to you by Herb Thrasher at herbthrasher.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. Oh my God, the sun is out here in beautiful Potland, Oregon, and it reminds me that the festival season is coming up, and nobody is busier during festival season than our own Herb Thrasher. How you doing, Herb?
Right on. Yeah, that's true. Yes, the festivals are catching up. We're starting to book some good festivals this year. Seattle for sure, guys. I hope you guys are planning now for Seattle, because now is definitely the time for that.
Can you believe Seattle's 3 days this year? Do you think we'll live through it?
I'm not sure. You know what? We make it to the whole summer, so I think we'll be able to live through this one. It's always the best, and we'll definitely get better. So we're definitely excited on our front also.
Of course, Herb Thrashers with Herb Age Designs. You can check them out at herbagedesigns.com. All the best gear for the coolest heads out there. And you got any new gear? And what's your first festival this year?
You know what? We actually just signed up. We're going to go to the Oregon Green Free Cannabis Cup.
I'll see you there. I'll be there.
Oh, awesome. Well, that should be a fun event. I've been looking at that for the last month, and it looks like a good time.
And that's Saturday, April 30th, I believe. OregonGreenFree.net probably has the info.
Yeah, it is. And it's I think it's in Gresham, Oregon.
Yeah.
It's an all-day thing from like 3 in the afternoon to 12. And there's, it sounds like, vendors and speakers and some bands and eats and just a good time. So we're going to do that, and then we're scheduling them up for the festival. We're definitely going to do reggae festival, and we're going to do all the hemp fests around. And you know, on that one note, if there's any vendors out there who's wondering about hemp stock, we're definitely starting to take returning vendors this month. So you guys start preparing for hemp stock also.
That's Portland, check Oregon. The weekend after Labor Day weekend is Portland Hemp Stock out at the Kelly Point Park.
That's right. And you can find that on the website at hempstock.org.
That's stock, S-T-A-L-K, too, not S-T-O-C-K. S-T-A, like a stock of hemp. Hemp stock. Check it out, hempstock.org.
That's right. And on the herb front, we are definitely, I've been hunkered down the last month doing some art and coming up with some new products. So in the next couple months, I'm definitely going to start forking some of those out. So we're real excited about that.
Far out, man. Let's get the rock going. What do you got for us?
We got some rock going. I'm really, really excited to bring some Southern guys to this show.
Yeehaw!
So let's get to it. Yeehaw! Sinister Grin is an alternative rock, Southern rock band that formed in Memphis, Tennessee in early 2001. The band is signed to indie label Hamster Powered Radio. Sinister Grin can be described as pure, raw, and melodic with a Southern attitude. With influences such as Alice in Chains, Theory of a Dead Man, and Soundgarden, you can figure that the guys were great students because the songs reflect their roots very well. Sinister Grin's CD, Medicine, was recorded in a home studio built by Brandon Scott and mixed and mastered at Ardent Studios in Memphis. The band, Brandon Scott guitar and vocals, Val Serez guitar and vocals, Billy Little bass, and Richie Pierce, Mayor of Fraser drums, can be seen touring the South and around the country. So turn it up, Stashers, and take in some medicine. Have a great weekend, and you can always catch these guys on MySpace at Sinister Grin 69.
Yep.
So rock on, turn it up.
This is Sinister Grin with Medicine. Get your download at stash.normal.org.
a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Davy Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
U.S. Vienna, Malgo, broke down barrier. Herb is medicine to broke down barrier. Boost the economy and broke down barrier. It's helping other states, broke down barrier. Cannabis for legalized to broke down barrier. Join and speak your voice, broke down barrier. We gonna change the law, broke down barrier. We got to educate, broke down barrier. Yeah, this is Nayora, you know, bigging up U.S. Vienna, Malgo. Working to legalize cannabis, you know, for the whole of the Virgin Islands.
USVI Normal is a non-profit organization working to legalize cannabis for the use by the industries and responsible adults. Do your part. Join USVI Normal. Register to vote. Pass the word. Voice your opinion. You can change the law. Contact us for more information at 340-244-9179.
Since 1970, Normal has been fighting for the rights of all adults who use cannabis responsibly. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has been the chronicle of the cannabis community. Every second Friday of the month, we bring that working relationship to the Normal Daily Audio Stash with our special guest, Senior Editor Dave Bienenstock, author of the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, for our exclusive monthly preview of this month's issue of High Times.
All right, we go all the way down to the Bay Area. Are you in the Bay Area, Dave? Is that about where you're living now?
I am in the Monterey Bay Area.
I knew there was a bay involved. I just didn't know which one. How you doing? Glad to have your High Times West Coast editor, David Bienenstock, also editor of the High Times Medical Cannabis Quarterly. So I wanted to get all that taken care of. How you doing?
I am all very, very good.
Have you recovered from the weekend, I guess, is the main question. The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Denver was the last weekend. You were out there, Danny Danko, Nico, all the folks, Rick Cusick. Tell us a little bit about it.
I have recovered. You know, you have to readjust to losing all that altitude when you leave Denver. So I am not nearly as high as I was when I was there, but I am fully recovered. And it was a great weekend. It's my first time in Denver, and I don't think I could have experienced the city under better circumstances.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, good time is had by all. We spoke with Danny a little bit about it. John Doe from John Doe Radio has been on the show talking about it. Tell us, you know, comparing the Medical Cannabis Cup you did in San Francisco last year, any significant differences in Denver?
You know, I think we learned a lot. We had a bigger venue. We had a much improved ticketing system. So just as far as kind of the nuts and bolts of the event, which are, you know, really important, I think we made a huge improvement. The place we have for San Francisco this year, June 25th and 26th, is big and beautiful and really ready to accommodate us. So I think that's the biggest change, you know, really just a better experience for everyone involved.
Did anything surprise you, or did you take note of anything special about the greens there in Colorado and the Rocky Mountains there? How's the genetics?
Strong. The genetics are strong. I always say, you know, I think it's a lot more fun to hang out with people who are judging a pot contest than to judge a pot contest. You know, I have kind of a judge not philosophy. If it works, it's good. That's kind of how I always feel. But I could definitely say, you know, my colleagues were saying how impressed they were with the Colorado genetics and the quality of medicine produced there, and I would definitely agree with that.
How many strains had to be judged, and how long did you have to judge them?
You know, it varied category to category. I think some of the categories were up to 35 in some of the categories, and I think there was about 10 days of judging. So definitely, you know, these are very experienced judges. You know, it's definitely a lot, but it's definitely, you know, the thing that they're focused on that entire time.
All right. Well, it sounds like a good time. And again, the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup comes to San Francisco June, what is it, 25th and 26th?
June 25th and 26th is going to be at Galleria. It's a beautiful spot, part of the San Francisco Design Center. And, you know, we're really, really going to be bringing it this year.
Right on. And MedCanCup.com, still the website to get tickets?
Yes, that's the best place to go for all the info.
All right. Well, let's talk about the High Times issue, because we always do this segment here, second Friday of the month, when we get the High Times new issues coming out on the newsstand. So what are we having to look forward to?
It's a really, really fascinating issue. I would say maybe the biggest thing that jumps out at me is an interview with Dr. Mechoulam from Israel, the who discovered THC in 1964, and he has been experimenting with marijuana ever since. I think a lot of us have probably employed that phrase at some point. I think you and I are probably past the experimental stage, but here's this you know, brilliant scientist, that he's been experimenting for more than 50 years now.
Yeah, it's amazing. When you look back, you know, and you think that it's just relatively recently that we've even discovered what THC is, and even more recently that we have the endocannabinoid system. I bet it's a great read.
It really is, and his research was integral to finding that out. And for people who don't know, the endocannabinoid system is integral to the way the human body functions on a really basic level, and that's one of the things that starts to explain to us how marijuana can work for so many different ailments and illnesses, and have such mild side effects, because we really are, I don't know if hardwired is the right word, but cannabinoids reach a very ingrained part of the human brain and the human nervous system.
Yeah, it's very, very important. So Dr. Mechoulam in the High Times issue, check that out. We've also, of course, in High Times, always got interviews with the celebrities and the musicians that are part of the movement. Who do we get this month?
You know, we got Junior Reed, just a reggae legend, and we have a very strong reggae readership of the magazine, so I think they'll be interested in that. And I would say maybe the most important celebrity, in this issue we have a memorial garden that was planted in tribute to Jack Herrera, and so we have an article that on the one hand focuses on this garden, and on the other hand is sort of a tribute to somebody. You know, it's been about a year since his passing, and it's somebody who's such an important part of this movement that we thought that was an interesting thing, that somebody planted that garden in his memory, and that, you know, readers would take it as a good chance to look back at his life and his work.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting that one, too. And usually I have the issue in front of me. Of course, April being a weird month here, we get a second Friday that comes as early as the 8th, so I haven't actually received my copy yet, so I'm kind of flying blind here. But I know in the issues you've always got some good investigative-type journalism where someone's taking a look at either a far-flung land, you know, some foreign piece, or in-depth piece on medical patients somewhere. Do we have anything like that in this month's issue?
Well, you know, while we, I think, I was actually almost mentioned this before, but our writer, our cultivation editor, Nico Escondido, who interviewed Ralph Mechoulam in Israel, also, he did an article that's sort of an overview on their medical program there, which is run in conjunction with the federal government. And has been expanding over the past few years, and really could be a real source of some leadership in this movement down the road. I think they're very patient based. They're very, you know, as everyone who lives in the U.S. knows, it's just different when you have the federal government signed off. The people in Israel, they're not looking over their shoulder as they try to implement this program. Mm-hmm. And so they've been able to proceed in some pretty interesting directions. And I think it's an article definitely worth looking into. And then a lot closer to home, We have a great article from Kim Kemp, who's a recent contributor to Hot Times, but she's been doing some really interesting articles for us, a Humboldt County native. And here she's looking at something called the Humboldt Growers Association, where, you know, I mean, Humboldt County, if you're looking at a normal live show and you don't know what Humboldt County is about, I can't imagine. So the fact that growers there are sort of forming this guild and sharing their secrets and you know, finally feeling comfortable enough to organize, I think some interesting things are going to come out of that, whether it's growing techniques or political organization. It's time, and it's an exciting time to be up in Humboldt.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the complaints that I hear many times when I deal with folks from Northern California, Southern Oregon, people that are heavily invested in the growing economy, and they fear legalization is going to Walmartize weed and make it so that they can't compete. I always say, band together, you know, unionize, come up with a guild or a, you know, a union of some sort and, you know, put your power together. You know, you can have a hand in shaping what legalization will be, because now it's not a question of if it's a question of how. No reason why the people who are involved in the industry right now can't be a part of that.
I think that's, you know, that's maybe the best lesson that came out of Prop 19 up in those hills is, you know, we want to be ahead of this curve at every level. And I think that those communities, you know, it's exciting to see this kind of organization coming in a place where, you know, everybody knew but nobody talked about it. Now everybody's talking about it and looking to the future as a time of tremendous promise and opportunity.
Yeah, legalization's
coming. You have to see the opportunity before you seize it, and I think that things like the Humboldt Growers Association are an important part of that.
Yeah, and let's get a chance here to talk about the Medical Cannabis Quarterly. When's the next issue coming out, and what do we have to look forward in that?
Oh man, I'm working on it right now. It still won't come out for about a month or so, but we have some really interesting things coming up. I'll just say quickly, we have an interview with Dr. Jeffrey Hergenrather, the head of the Society of Cannabis Clinicians, somebody who has been involved with medical marijuana for quite a while and really understands, on the one hand, deals with patients all day. And on the other hand, as part of this organization that is pushing for research and promoting research that's already being done. So I think it was a really fascinating conversation, and he's a unique individual who can speak to sort of that patient to patient on the ground. I've seen these people and helped them and answer people's questions, but also who can look forward to, you know, what's the potential of this medicine moving forward. We're also looking at Canada's medical marijuana program, which is in flux right now, as is the entire government of Canada, following up on the best medical strains and a few articles I don't want to talk about because I don't want anybody to
scoop them. Yeah, good point. All right. Well, how can people, first of all, I want to reiterate the somebody in the chat room was asking about the Medical Cannabis Cup tickets for San Francisco. It's MedCanCup, MedCanCup.com, right? .com?
Mm-hmm.
And then HighTimes.com, of course, to get High Times magazine. Is there a special URL for the medical magazine?
There is HighTimes.com/MEDMJ,
okay,
and then another slash. And, you know, we will have, we are working on a new website just for that magazine, so that'll be coming soon. But in the meantime, that's the way to catch up with us.
Well, I'm glad you survived Denver and you've returned to the lands of thicker air and you've recovered well. I'm glad you had a good time.
Oh yeah, and I will be readjusting my altitude once again to join you and everybody at the National Normal Conference in Denver coming up right around 4:20.
Yeah, coming up way too soon.
Oh, our one where I have to work all the time is done, so it's coming up plenty soon enough.
Yeah, the pressure's on, man. Thanks, Dave Bienenstock, the West Coast editor of High Times Magazine, High Times Medical Quarterly. Again, thanks for being here every second Friday for our High Times preview.
Anytime, Russ. I'll see you in a couple weeks.
All right. Hey, when we come back, everyone, we've got a little radical ranting, British style, so stay tuned, chap.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for making pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own, how precisely to legalize it, or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place. Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Eyes are tight, everybody!
This drug in front of me is what they call marijuana.
If we had a dime for every dime bag bought in America, marijuana would be legal by now. Donate to Normal at NORML.org and support Normal Show Live. Going to light. Roll a big
fatty. Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
Oh, folks, just when I'd gotten myself all riled up yesterday about the partnership at drugfree.org and their Reefer Madness, we had to get one-upped once again by our friends across the pond. That's right. British Reefer Madness is in full swing. Our correspondent, Cannabis Cure UK, who does an excellent podcast here on the Normal Network, gives us the latest from the UK Daily Mail. He forwarded to me this headline I want to repeat for you.
Cannabis kills 30,000 a year.
Oh my goodness. 30,000 people a year killed by cannabis. In 5,000 years of human use, we've gone from zero deaths total to 30,000 a year. Wow. Oh man, that sounds serious. Let me read on here. It says more than 30,000 cannabis consumers, I'm sorry, more than 30,000 cannabis smokers. Let's get the terminology right here. More than 30,000 cannabis smokers could die every year, doctors warn today. Wait a minute. The headline said cannabis kills 30,000 a year, and then in the lead it says could die every year. Okay, that's a little bit of a drop off in certainty there, but let's go on. We'll continue. This is a little bit deeper in the story. Professor John Henry, a leading authority on the drug, said the change, due to take place this summer, had undermined doctors' efforts to highlight the risks. He said, quote, "Cannabis is as dangerous as cigarette smoking. In fact, it may be even worse. And downgrading its legal status has simply confused people." May be worse. it may be worse. Okay, right. Where are the wards full of cannabis smokers? You know, Britain actually has some level of health care worthy of a civilized people. You'd think that the National Health Service would bring these figures up. They could point to the numbers of Britons who were under the National Health Service from all the cancers and terrible things that happened to them from cannabis smoking. Where are these people? I mean, you'd think it would be quite a cost to the government. I mean, here in America, we've got 15 million adults smoking pot monthly and 1.1 million smoking daily. 56 million American adults are smoking cigarettes once a month, and 35 times as many are daily tobacco smokers as compared to cannabis smokers. Now, there are 276,000 new cases of respiratory and oral cancers diagnosed annually, according to cancer.gov. Cigarettes have already been proven to cause 435,000 deaths per year, according to the Centers for Disease Control. Cannabis-only smoking, according to a 30-year retrospective study by Dr. Donald Tashkin at the University of California, Los Angeles Medical School, found that not only did cancer not cause head, neck, and lung cancer, it reduces the incidence of head, neck, and lung cancer. So I ask once again, Professor John Henry, where are the wards full of cannabis smokers? Now, this back again to the UK Daily Mail. They continue to say, quote, researchers calculate that if 120,000 deaths are caused among the 13 million smokers, the corresponding figure among 3.2 million cannabis smokers would be 30,000. Well, okay, I calculate that if my wife drops a dollar on the lottery and correctly picks six random unique integers between 1 and 59, we'll be rich, and the corresponding donation to Normal will be substantial, and who cares? I mean, if we're just going to sit around here and throw out, you know, mathematical equations with no basis in fact or reality, let's just talk about the lottery, right? Where are these 120,000 deaths among 13 million smokers that you're starting with? Where are these deaths? Where are the bodies? Is this an American estimate or something? I mean, because we don't have 120,000 deaths from cannabis here, and you don't have 30,000 deaths from cannabis over there. Continuing from the Daily Mail. The drug can cause cancer, lung disease, and abnormalities associated with serious mental illness. Users are more than six times likely to develop schizophrenia. The British Lung Foundation says smoking three joints a day can cause the same damage to the airways as a pack of 20 cigarettes. All right, look, few people today are smoking three joints a day. And even those that do aren't developing schizophrenia or psychoses or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. And even if they were, would a prison cell be the best way to help them? Look, you need 36 grams to be able to roll three joints a day, and that's considering the DEA's skinny, you know, 0.4 gram joint standard. And 36 grams would be enough to get you jail time in most states. And as for schizophrenia, the Mail should just look at that 10-year study just recently of the mental hospitals in the UK. 186 different mental hospitals in the UK surveyed from 1996 to 2006 found no increase in admittance or rates of schizophrenia or psychoses, even though the rate of cannabis use in the UK skyrocketed during that time. Again, Professor John Henry, where are the wards full of cannabis smokers? We move to another doctor, quoted again here in the UK Mail. Dr. William Oldfield from St. Mary's Hospital, and one of the authors of the article, said, quote, cannabis and nicotine cigarettes have a different mode of inhalation. The puff taken by cannabis smokers is two-thirds larger, and they inhale a third more and hold down the smoke four times longer. Yeah, but see, when that joint's done, or even most of the time, like half done, or maybe a couple puffs taken off of it, you know, those big puffs, the toker doesn't again light up for hours or days or weeks even. Unlike the tobacco smoker, even though they're taking the shallower puffs, when they finish that cigarette, they're lighting up another one. They're smoking a pack a day. They're smoking every 30 minutes to an hour. So it's quite a different situation. And again, the evidence has shown, and we do not have people developing chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, lung cancer, bronchial cancer, larynx cancer, mouth cancer. Those cancers do not increase. In fact, there's less incidence of them for cannabis-only smokers, even if we're holding the hits in longer. Continued from the UK Mail. All these factors could contribute to illnesses of the heart and respiratory system, particularly as the chemicals in cannabis smoke are retained in the body to a much higher degree. What? Could contribute, right? And what is this? Chemicals are retained in the body. Oh no, the chemicals are retained in the body. What does that mean? The chemicals in marijuana smoke, the harmful ones that you're all worried about, are the same chemicals that are in tobacco smoke, right? That's what makes them harmful. In fact, it's anything that's carbon that you burn causes these harmful chemicals. So these harmful benzenes or whatever you want to concern yourself with here leave the body from cannabis at the same rate they leave the body from with tobacco. The only thing about cannabis smoke that stays within the body is the fat-soluble THC Ku metabolite, the carboxy THC, that stays in your body for days or weeks or even a month in some extreme cases, right? And that's not the harmful part. It's an inert, inactive metabolite. So again, what is the scare of chemicals being stored in the body? All right, back to the UK Daily Mail here. He said the cannabis used today, especially that bought in the Netherlands, was up to 40 times stronger than that used by the flower power hippies of the 1960s. The active level of ingredient in cannabis, tetrahydrocannabinol, has increased from around 0.5% in 20 years ago to almost 5% today. It's nice to know that the flower power hippies of the 1960s were smoking 0.5% THC weed. You know, the United Nations actually has a designation for industrial hemp, and it states that any THC in a hemp plant that's less than 1% is industrial hemp. So, really, all those flower power hippies in the 1960s were smoking 0.5% THC hemp. Really? Really, sure. The Beatles, the Monkees, all these great bands of the 60s, they were all getting their inspiration from 0.5% THC hemp. Really, really. Bell bottoms and, you know, painting everyone up and burning bras, that's because people were smoking 0.5% THC hemp. No, wait a minute. They said 20 years ago. The level of ingredient has increased from 20 years ago. Well, gee, 20 years ago was 1991. You mean Nirvana and all those grunge rockers were smoking 0.5% THC up in Seattle? Really? And it's gotten up to, 5% today, which really it's gotten to, 10, 15, 20. But this always makes me wonder when they say that the weed today is so much more strong than it was back in the 1960s. It makes me wonder then, why were you busting people back in the 1960s? I mean, part of the reason they give for busting people today, the weed is so strong, it could lead to harder drugs. It's so much more potent. Well, okay, then why were you busting people for what was comparatively near beer back in the 60s? Which we know it isn't, right? We knew the guys in the 60s had weed just as good as we have weed now, right? It's just the average seizures. It's a whole different ball of wax there. But anyway, UK Daily Mail Online, mailonline.com, 100% Reefer Madness and Slinger approved. Check it out today and check out Cannabis Cure UK's show. That'll be coming up, Cannabis Cure UK, next Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. I'm sure he'll be talking about this quite a bit on his program next Tuesday. Check that out. And speaking of the Normal Network, we want to remind you that we will have shows 24-7. It's 420, 24-7, 365 here on the Normal Network. And coming up later today on the Normal Network, you'll get to hear Cannabis Times Radio at 5. Actually, we've got a replay coming up of, I believe, Lanny Swerdlow's show out of Loma Linda, California, coming up at 3 p.m. Pacific. Toker Talk Radio is next for those of you listening live, and then after Toker Talk Radio, Marijuana Compassion and Common Sense at 3, the 4 o'clock replay of this first hour of Normal Show Live at 4, Cannabis Times Radio comes to you from New York and LA at 5 Pacific, Hot Box Podcast at 6 Pacific from Kalispell, Montana with Sandy and Matt. At 7 o'clock Pacific, you're going to get John Doe Radio from the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado, and at 8 o'clock the debut of the Irie Island Show with our own intern, Kaliko. Hey, Kaliko, you want to tell folks as we wind up here what they're looking forward to for tonight's show?
Oh, yeah. Just, some grooving tunes, some good reggae jams, get some good vibrations to lead you into the weekend.
So. Oh, yeah. Good weekend stuff. Irie Island Hour tonight, 8 o'clock Pacific time on the Normal Network. And then the entire lineup replays starting at 9, so you'll get Normal Show Live, Cannabis Times Radio, the Hot Box Podcast, John Doe Radio, and Irie Island Hour. Then all night long, replays of all this week's shows on the network, including all 5 episodes of Normal Show Live and all 5 episodes of John Doe Radio, all weekend long. Tune in. You'll learn something. The Normal Network. Tell your friends. Live.normal.org. For Cannabis Carrie and Ganja John and Kaliko the intern, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us here. We'll talk to you next week. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Take it all one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.